welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a brief discussion of legal issues and practical insights. Please note that the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice. We hope that you enjoy the program.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Ogletree Deacons Podcast. My name is Andre Caldwell. I'm a shareholder in the Oklahoma City office, and I'm a member of Ogletree's Ethics, Compliance, and Whistleblower Response Practice Group. My practice consists primarily of conducting high-level internal investigations for clients locally, nationally, and internationally, as well as advising clients on best practices and tips for conducting the same internally. The novel coronavirus has created a significant disruption in the traditional workplace environment, resulting in many workplaces transitioning to a telework environment. Over the last couple of months, we've seen employers have to shift their focus to digesting new legislation, attempt to salvage business operations, and adapt to changes in the workplace. And of course, based on having to undertake these tasks, this has pushed workplace investigations potentially to the back burner. Of course, these concerns do not create room for ignoring or placing on the back burner employee complaints that have been raised, and frankly, some that may be raised in the coming days. I believe a Law 360 article came out regarding the top five novel claims that are foreseen to arise out of the coronavirus. As the world grapples with containing the spread of COVID-19, this has placed several restrictions on travel and also enacted social distancing practices, which have obviously had an effect on the way in which corporate investigations have been conducted. And what we'll call the pre-COVID investigation era, typically an investigator would travel or have some degree of human interaction for evidence gathering and in-person witness interviews. Although some states are beginning to reopen and companies are attempting to get back to business as usual, we're uncertain as to how long this process and policies will be in place, and companies will likely have to move forward with investigations using remote techniques. Fortunately, technological advances create avenues for human resources personnel or outside counsel to conduct effective workplace investigations in an effort to ensure a safe and collaborative work environment. The podcast today will discuss some of the best tips and practices for conducting workplace investigations in a remote environment. The number one consideration, whether you're conducting an investigation remotely or in person, is to determine who the appropriate investigator is. What investigator has the right qualities for effectively and thoroughly conducting your investigation? Of course, this determination becomes heightened in the context of conducting a workplace investigation remotely. You'll want an investigator who is tech savvy. And by tech savvy, I'm not suggesting that they need to be MIT certified or write computer code, but frankly, someone who knows how to utilize the technology effectively. In being tech savvy, you also want an investigator who is flexible, someone who can handle technological difficulties that may arise in the course of conducting the investigation. You'll want someone who's comfortable with the technology, who understands how to utilize it, what manner of security protocols are in place, how to best and effectively utilize the technology for conducting the interviews to extract the relevant information for the investigation. And beyond that, for someone who is using this technology, you'll want an investigator who can set the witness at ease. And of course, the proper person to do that is someone who is confident in their use of technology. You'll want an investigator who is confident, who is professional, who is businesslike. Beyond that, of course, you'll move into the technical aspects of conducting the investigation, which leads to the second tip, determining what is the proper or best platform to use. In making that determination, you'll want to assess what technology does the company have access to. Is it a company that typically operates using Zoom or using Microsoft Teams? If the company does not have that technology, what technology does a witness have access to? Does a witness have an iPhone in which you might want to utilize FaceTime? Does the witness have a company computer in which they can easily install Zoom and participate in the Zoom interview? These are going to be very relevant determinations in determining how to move forward with your remote workplace investigation. Of course, I'm not here to advocate for either technological platform, but of course, I've used both in conducting remote internal investigations in the past. In looking at the platforms that you use, you'll want to determine what security protocols are in place. This is going to be key because you don't want to have a third party interrupt your interview or eavesdrop on your interview, because this could have significant effects on the confidentiality issues. It could have significant effects on the comfort of the witness in providing you with relevant and sensitive information. And it's to protect the integrity of the investigation so that someone who may participate at the time that they are not designated, that may later affect the outcome and the fact finding that you are able to conduct during the investigation. You'll also want to look at a platform that allows for screen sharing. And the screen sharing may be relevant in the context of reviewing documents that are pertinent to the investigation, whether that be documents you show to the witness to ask them questions about, or vice versa, documents that you request from the witness that they may have in their possession relevant to the investigation. These are just a few of the thought processes that you will want to go through in determining the platform to use, and this list is non-exhaustive. The next tip may seem commonsensical, but it can get lost in the shuffle, especially as we work remotely. You'll want to look at setting the time and place for the interview. One mistake that I have made in the past is looking at time zones of the witness and the interviewer. Like I said, that may seem commonsensical, but in a investigation that I've conducted overseas, I've had witnesses who've been half days ahead of me, and due to not paying attention to those differences in time zones, there's been miscommunication. This is not often the case, but it's just a practical consideration to think about. By the same token, you'll want to make sure that the witness is present in a safe location, somewhere where not only will they be free from distractions and third parties who may affect their testimony, who may feed them information, or who may eavesdrop on their conversation, but also a safe place where the confidentiality and the privacy and any attorney-client privilege issues that might arise won't be compromised. In conducting a remote workplace investigation via any technological platform, you'll likely want to provide yourself with more time to conduct the interview. Like I said earlier, there are technological difficulties that might arise during the course of the investigation. And again, I'll go back to the example of conducting the overseas investigations that I've done in the past. We've had issues where witnesses have been in rural areas, remote rural areas, with bad internet connections, which have prohibited them from having a thorough connection enough to execute a seamless interview. And at that point, again, looking at the flexibility of the investigator, we've had to conduct part of the investigation via the video conferencing platform and part of the investigation telephonically. Now, as you can likely tell from my statements so far, I am a big believer in conducting face-to-face interviews. And so I will always advocate for conducting video conference interviews. However, if that's not an option, then telephonic interviews will suffice. The reason why I advocate for face-to-face interviews, and again, this comes down to assessing the right investigators, because I believe that you can look at the body language of a witness and observe certain mannerisms, reactions, and responses to questions that are asked and responses that are given in the course of the investigation. These are key in any investigation to determining the credibility of the witness. Now, one thing to keep in mind, however, when conducting an investigation via a video conferencing platform, is that not everyone is comfortable with being on video and talking to someone through one of these platforms. Although we've had Google Hangouts and FaceTime around for some period of time, there is still a degree of discomfort for some people in utilizing these video platform systems. In fact, I think as we've moved into more Zoom meetings and more Microsoft Teams meetings, more people are becoming comfortable with that. But that assumption cannot be made. And of course, that discomfort that may exist on the part of the witness may demonstrate itself by nervous mannerisms or responses or reactions. And a very discerning investigator will need to determine whether those nervous reactions or responses are due in part to the question that was posed or to the witness's lack of comfort on the video platform. One other consideration to think about when conducting a remote internal investigation is whether the witness is recording and vice versa, whether you choose to record. I've been in many an investigation where witnesses have chosen to record our interviews. I typically ask this question at the outset of the interview, advise them that I will not be recording and ask if they're recording. I've had witnesses tell me that they are recording, and I've asked them to provide me a copy of the recording afterward. Of course, conducting a remote investigation, you will likely not have access to or a way to force them to provide you that recording after the interview. I've also been involved in investigations in the past where witnesses have surreptitiously recorded, and I did not learn this until after the fact, obviously compromising the investigation. Again, this is something that you'll want to ask about with witnesses. And on the flip side of this, if you choose to record as the interviewer or the investigator, the thing that you'll want to keep in mind is whether the state in which you are located and or the witness is located have recording provisions. This is important in this context. Oklahoma is a one-party consent state, meaning that you can record without the other person having knowledge or without being required to obtain their consent. However, California is a two-party consent state, which means that you'd have to ask for and obtain consent to record. These are issues that you'll have to just keep in mind when conducting an investigation remotely, because you may not have access or control over recordings that are being done by the witness, and it's something that you'll need to consider if you choose to utilize this method yourself. As for concluding the investigation, another tip that you'll want to think about is how will you report to the decision makers? I believe that the same tips I've enumerated earlier with respect to choosing your platform and the considerations of confidentiality and attorney-client privilege are as relevant here on the topic of reporting to the decision maker as they are to conducting witness interviews. You'll simply need to keep in mind, how can you ensure a safe environment for the reporting to the decision makers that will not compromise the confidentiality or the attorney-client privilege that may go along with the course of the investigation? You'll also want to think about document sharing that may be relevant to the decision makers as you communicate any recommendations that they may request or simply the facts that you uncover during the course of the investigation. In addition, you'll want to make sure that the decision makers are comfortable using this video conferencing platform. And if not, again, they may want to switch to a reporting on a telephonic basis, at which point with multiple people in different locations because of social distancing practices, you just don't have that awareness of who may be around. Now, these are not anything that should cause alarm in the context of conducting a remote workplace investigation. Remote workplace investigations can certainly be conducted in a very thorough and effective manner. But I offer just these snapshots of tips, and again, a non-existent list, that one should consider when conducting remote workplace investigations. At the end of the day, it all comes down to the same practice in a pre-COVID investigation as in a post-COVID remote investigation. That is putting together a thorough and thought-out plan for conducting the investigation. That plan allows you to effectively implement the strategies necessary to obtain the information relevant to the complaints, and at the end of the day, hopefully conclude the investigation in a manner that is effective and useful in navigating the complaint that has been raised. I wish you all the best. Stay safe, be healthy, and thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended or to be construed as legal advice.